Good morning. Good morning. All right. Last week, when I came up here to give glory to God for the healing that he did in my body, I didn't really have a lot of time, and I have more time now. And I just want to say thank you for praying for me. Thank you. If you ever think that prayer doesn't work, you're nuts, okay? Because prayer works. I've been healed 2 times. I was healed of a stroke. And by the way, that stroke attacked my speech center, so I couldn't talk, you know? Well, now I can talk. And maybe you could think that's a good thing or a bad thing. But, and then to have them say to me that what you've got wrong in your colon cannot be healed. It cannot be. You know, you have strictures, and those strictures, they're turning into scar tissue, and sooner or later, it's just going to plug right up. It's not going to work. You're going to, you know, so we have to take your colon out. And then to have a doctor come in and say, I don't see any strictures. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, like I went, oh, that couldn't be. But there's this part of you that still, even when you receive a miracle like that or a healing, whichever one it was, you know, you want to say, oh, that's hard to believe. But it's not hard to believe. It just isn't hard to believe. That's the kind of thing that our God does. Yes. Amen? That's the kind of thing that he wants to do for us. And so many times I think we get into this easy believism that says, oh, he heals sometimes and sometimes he doesn't. That's easy to believe. It's not easy to believe that he's going to heal me. Yeah, all the time. It's not easy to believe that he still is the same God today as he was yesterday. He still delivers. He still sets free. He still heals. He still, you know, he still performs miracles. That's hard to believe. There's many denominations right now that will talk about those things, but I love it that I can stand up here and say I've experienced those kinds of things. Amen? Give God praise this morning. Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. And I try to tell people, and every time I do, I cry. You know, they think I'm crazy. Especially crazy when I tell them God healed me. I told the banker lady at Huntington in Allendale that God healed me. I'm going to tell anybody, okay? But the Lord this morning laid something on my heart, and it's not going to be long. I have a very nice long message that I'll preach another time, okay? But the thing that the Lord laid on my heart while we were worshiping was the idea that sometimes we say things, you know, that sound good, but we really don't know what we're saying. Like this one. I don't have religion. I have a relationship. But what you fail to realize is your relationship hinges on your religion. Come on. You know, are you religious about praying? The Bible says to pray without ceasing, okay? Is God on your mind so much that your first reaction to everything is prayer? All right, let me put it this way. Religion says you got to go to church. Relationship says what? I get to go to church, right? You know, religion says I got to go to Sunday school. Relationship says I get to go to Sunday school. But there are times when you don't feel like it. Am I the only one that doesn't feel like coming to church every Sunday? Apparently it happens more than we think. But the religion in my life allows me to come to church when I don't want to. And it's not that I don't want to preach, don't get me wrong. But the religion in my life makes me do the things that promote the relationship in my life. And you're talking about, this morning the Lord was talking through Leslie and even through Weston, you know that we're going to make it, but there are times when it can be very, very difficult. How many of you know that? It would be much, much easier sometimes just not to be a Christian. But the thing of it is, if you're having a hard time getting through, if you're having a hard time making it, maybe you should look back at your relationship and put a little religion in your life and start doing things because you have to, not because maybe you want to. Because we're people, we don't always want to do things. Are you with me? You know, we come to church and we receive, hopefully, through the worship, or we give through the worship, but you know what? Worship is also beneficial to us. You know, when you worship, your stress level goes down. When you worship, the things that seem so hard and difficult in your life, they fade away, okay? And when you come to church, hopefully you get something out of the word. Because why do I talk so much about the word of God being so powerful and so necessary, and you have to read it and you have to memorize it, you have to have it be a huge part of your life? Because that's your relational side. That's where you get to know who God is. That's where you get to know how you're going to make it through those times that you don't think you're going to make it through. You have to realize that even the greatest theologians in the world, even the people that have the greatest hunger to read the Word of God, and I think I have a good degree of hunger for it, but there's always going to be those times that you don't feel like it. Maybe something comes up, when you were going to go read your Bible and you just lost focus and you just go, I ain't going to read today. There's no point in reading today. That's probably the day that you should read. Because so many times when I need an answer to something, I get it in the Word. Now, the Word doesn't address, should I do cocaine this morning? But it does. Okay? But it does. It may not say, don't go out and drink 2 cases of beer tomorrow night. It doesn't say that, but it does. Why? Well, all right, I'll tell you this. Anybody in the Old Testament, it talks about drinking strong drink. If you drink strong drink, according to that and to what that was that day, you couldn't approach the Lord for 24 hours. You want to be in that position? I don't want to be in that position. I don't want to be in the position where my flesh was so weak that I picked up a beer and drank it. Then all of a sudden I can't go to God. I mean, there's so many times that going to God is the only thing I can do because I have a relationship with Him through the religion that I experience and through the religion that I practice. I don't want to hurt that relationship. But do you realize that? That's the thing about it sometimes with us Christians, I've been thinking a lot about this, of what it was like when I first got saved, how excited I was and how on fire I was. And there has been times in my life that I've been that excited and that on fire. I might get a message that really sets me on fire. But as we mature as Christians, let me compare it to this, okay? When you first meet your wife or your husband, you're excited, right? Amen. You just want to spend every minute of every day with that person. And that's how you are when you first get saved. But just like it wanes in your marriage, not ours, of course, but just like it wanes in a marriage, it wanes in your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Well, what do you do then? Your religion pulls you through that because your religion says, hey, I have to pray. Hey, I have to go to church. Hey, I have to read that Bible. Because sometimes I don't want to go to church. Sometimes I don't want to pray. Sometimes I don't want to read my Bible. Do you want to know what one of the biggest struggles that I have personally? Don't write this down. Anyway, I love to read the Word of God. But should I read Amplified King James, New King James? Should I read NLT, NIV, ESV, NASB, NASBU? That's updated. And that's one way that the enemy gets me, because I end up spending most of the time going back and forth to my office getting different versions of the Bible. If you ever come in here during the week, you see a stack of Bibles that high, you know, where I pray. And boy, I look so spiritual, but I'm really not. I'm just trying to decide which is the best Bible to read. Okay? But my relationship is fostered through the religion that I have. I'm going to read something. Okay? Because your whole Christian walk is unfortunately not going to be a honeymoon. I just went through one heck of a year. Okay? I just went through a year I wouldn't wish on anybody. Crohn's. Oh, that's right, I don't have that. Cellulitis in my leg. Oh, that's right, he took care of that too. All kinds of things that would normally take my focus off from God. But because I'm religious, because I'm religious, I'm going to do those things anyway. Plus, it's my job, okay? And it will become very obvious on a Sunday morning if I'm not seeking the Lord. It's just like it will become very obvious with Pastor Josh if he's not seeking the Lord. Worship won't be anything. It might sound good. It might, you know, be your favorite songs. But there will be a difference because he's got to be in touch with the Father, okay, to bring you in touch with the Father. He's got to be able to go into the Holy of Holies himself, okay? And he doesn't always want to do that. Am I right? Lying is a sin.
I wanted to sleep 3 extra hours today.
Yeah, I know. You wanted to sleep 3 extra hours today. You see, it happens, you know? It happens. I'm not religious. I have a relationship. You know what? I'm religious, and I have a relationship because of that. I think sometimes we hurt ourselves. We say, well, I'm not religious, so I don't have to go to church every Sunday. No, you don't have to go to church every Sunday, but you ought to go to church every Sunday. Why? Because that will keep you in the position where you're at. Don't go for about 2-3 weeks and find out where you're at. Just look at where you probably are going to be. You see, that's another thing, really good thing that the Christians say. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That sounds really good, doesn't it? The problem is, if you're going to stay a Christian, you better go to church. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? I've lived that. Okay? I've lived that. There was a time in my life when I worked a secular job, and it was my choice to work on Sundays. My choice. I worked a lot of Sundays. I still love the Lord. But eventually, the religion that I was used to having took over and fostered my relationship back where it should be. What good does it do you to read the Bible if you don't want to? A lot. A lot. Because I have gotten more out of the Bible. I get something out of the Bible every day. To you, it might be, you probably know already. But, you know, I get something. Serena challenged me the other day. She said, why don't you sit down every day in prayer and not get up until the Lord's spoken to you. Is that what you said? Kind of, yeah, close enough. Okay. Do you know what? I don't always hear the voice of the Lord. You know why? I don't always listen. Come on. Because maybe he'll say something I don't want to hear. And he's done that before. But even when he does that, those things are for my good. When they're for my good and I get built up, my religious relationship, if you will, starts to grow again. Are you with me? Do you understand what I mean? I mean, there's nothing wrong with not wanting to do these things. That's just life. You know, you're not a terrible Christian if you just don't feel like reading your Bible. And nothing's going to happen to you if you don't read your Bible. But you can't make a habit of it. And if you want to grow, you have to read your Bible. And if you want to grow spiritually in other ways, you have to be in church. Because you know what? Maybe God will show me something he hasn't shown you, or maybe he's been trying to show you, and you won't get it unless you come here and hear it from me. Amen? I'm not saying I'm more spiritual. I'm just saying you ain't been listening. See, the thing is, God wants a relationship with us.
Absolutely.
Nowhere in the Bible does it say, but he doesn't want us to be religious. And I understand. I know there's a big difference in just being religious. But you can't leave out religion and hope to have a relationship. You can't. And I told you I didn't think this sermon was going to be long, or maybe you should call it a sermonette or whatever it would be. But, and I don't know who in here it might be that's having some trouble with getting to the time, or getting to setting aside time for reading their Bible or to pray or to worship. Yeah, you should, really should worship in your own personal prayer time also. So I don't know who it is, but just hear it, will you please? It's not wrong to do it because you have to. And if you want a relationship and you want it to grow, you have to. Okay? Again, your wife, your husband. You know, if I don't talk to Serena, our relationship goes downhill. Right? If you don't talk to God, your relationship will go downhill. It's important to speak to God. For me, the problem that I have is I'll sit down and I'll very easily read the whole time. Because I love reading, you know, the Word of God. I love it. But then at the end of the period of time, I haven't really prayed. And that's not okay. Once in a while. It's okay once in a while. But I need that prayer time and I need that worship time to be able to foster my relationship and become closer to who God is. And that is so important. Now, if you look at church as being the only thing you have to do and you don't do any of the other stuff all week long, then maybe you're religious and you don't have a relationship. But if you have a relationship, I'm going to tell you right now, you have to be religious. You have to be. I mean, there's times I'll take my Bible, I'll come in here, and maybe I'll get distracted with prayer. Oh, okay, go figure, you know. And maybe I'll only read, you know, a half of a chapter. But I'll get more out of the half of a chapter than I will if I would have read 10 chapters. A lot of us, I guess what I'm thinking here is being led by the Spirit. A lot of us don't realize that maybe sometimes we are led by the Spirit. Maybe sometimes we'll spend an hour in prayer and 2 minutes in reading. Other times we'll spend, you know, an hour of reading and 2 minutes in prayer. Maybe that is what the Spirit is saying you need for that day. But what you have to understand, and what I'm trying to tell you here, is you need all three. You can't. If you're going to be a real, true worshiper, you have to do it more than just here, where you have the perfect music and the perfect guy leading it. And you have all these things, you know? I'm sure I told you this story one time. One time I was up in the bedroom of our house that we were building, and the furnace man came. I didn't know that. And I was up there in the bedroom praising the Lord and singing and dancing. And I think his name was Merv. He was a little guy about that tall, old guy. And I was, you know, just doing perfect spins, you know, axles, you know, perfect. And I turned around to the doorway, and here he is looking in the doorway. And I'm going, hi. And he says, hi. And he asked me some question. I don't remember what it was now, but I thought it was kind of funny. He thought I was weird. He's probably right, but what I'm saying is just this, is if you used to jump around and shout and worship and you don't anymore, why? And if you used to read a lot and if you used to pray a lot and you aren't anymore, why? Do you think in some way that you've already hit your relational high with the Lord? Because you'll never do that. Because what he has for us is more and more and more and more, and on top of that, it's more. And when you think that you've gotten all that you can get out of anything, you know, where the Bible or prayer or worship is concerned, he gives you more. But he can't do that during worship if you aren't worshiping. And, you know, there's this one thing, you know, that the Bible says that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, what that means is really without any hidden agendas. We can't be just worshiping him because, God, you healed my colon, you know. I mean, I've really wanted to worship then, but there's days when I didn't get a healing for this or for that, and I don't feel like worshiping. But that's a sacrifice of worship that you give. You do it anyway. Yes. You do it, are you ready? Religiously. So that your relationship won't suffer. Yes. And so if you're feeling condemned today somehow, that maybe you don't read your Bible as much as sister whoever and brother whoever, and maybe you don't seem to be getting to worship like someone else does, you're seeing them here, all right? He's got to be do, or she's got to be doing that same thing at home, or it becomes a show. Amen? Anyway, like I said, I told you it wasn't going to be long. We were going to talk about sin today and what it does to you. But the Lord kept putting on my heart to talk to you about being religious and having a relationship. I would rather be religious with my relationship than think I have a relationship and don't have any religion in my life. Does that make sense to you today? I hope it does, because the relationship is, of course, the most important thing. You know, you have nothing if you don't have a relationship with the Lord. But if you have a relationship with the Lord, there's some things you're doing religiously. I promise you that. Yes. And if you don't do them religiously, then maybe your relationship needs some work. Yes. Amen? Why don't you bow your heads with me? I want you to think about that just a minute. And the one thing that the Lord had made very clear, no matter what I preached, was that it's time for us to get honest with ourselves. And just right now, think about maybe when you were first saved, or maybe think about a time in your life when you were more on fire. Is there anybody here this morning that wishes they were on fire like they were before? Why don't you raise your hand, just so I can get an idea. Okay, yeah, that's for sure. Because the world comes in and puts out that fire. And if we allow it to, by not letting religion be in our life, it'll steal our relationship. And why don't you stand with me? And I'm just going to open the altar. And if you want your relationship with the Lord to be better than maybe it is right now, that doesn't make you a terrible person. It makes you a hungry person, okay? That doesn't make you somebody who's just playing a game. That means that you're serious about not wanting to play the game, okay? So I'm going to open the altar. And if you're serious about wanting to get closer to the Lord, that's the golden altar call, okay? Gee, the whole church should be up here for that, right? No, I don't care about that. I care that you take an opportunity to realize that your relationship could use some work, and that by adding some religion in your life, it just may do that. The work that needs to be done in your relationship will come. Do it when you don't feel like it. If you do miss it, don't condemn yourself. Just get back to it. If there's not enough worship in your prayer time, start. If there's not enough prayer in your prayer time, get it back. If you don't read, start. Heavenly Father, you see the people that would say, God, just help me get close to you. Maybe like I was excited and close to you at the beginning of my walk with you. Put some religion, God, in their life that will foster their relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, that as they do this, that they will see the benefits of having a good relationship with you, an alive relationship with you, an alive relationship with your word, an alive relationship with worship. I believe, Lord, you said this morning, as clear as a bell, it's time to be honest with ourselves. And so, Lord, as we get honest with ourselves, I pray that you would move. That you would move in the lives of the people here today. That today would change who they are and what they've allowed into their life that at one time they kicked out. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody who believes that something's going to happen in their life shouted, amen. And amen. Come on. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated if you want to. You can stay up here. The praise team is going to continue to play. One last thing. What would you do if God said to you, pray all day? What would you do? Would that be a difficult thing? Or would it be a honoring type of thing? what would it be like if your prayer time was, instead of, God, will you do this for me? What if it was, God, what do you want me to do today? It kind of turns the whole thing around. You see, our relationship can't be one-sided. It can't be gimme, 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 gimme. Because there are times when God, in fact, most times, God will have something for you to do. God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
To who? To me. Do you believe that this morning? Yeah, amen. Give him praise this morning. Thank you, Lord.